It's Monday, October 3rd, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, show number 710. Geek News Central is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com, and Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Geek News Central is also sponsored in part by GoToMeeting, now with HD Faces, the world's best web conferencing solution. Get your free trial at GoToMeeting.com, click the try it free button, and use the promo code podcast. Hey, everyone, got a great show lined up for you. And yes, it's October 1st. We're at the beginning of a new month. Lots to share. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran, and I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all our great content. Of course, check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website, where you can tune in really to a lot of content that we put up on the site every week. We have our regular writers that are putting daily blog content about the latest and greatest in tech news and offbeat articles. And of course, you can get subscribed to the show as well. All you have to do is really visit the website, and you'll find right in the second column of the website, you'll find a big orange box, and it basically says subscribe, and you'll find links to the GNC audio and video podcast, our special media events feed, which is going to start kicking up and getting active here in the next few weeks, and of course, the Saturday Morning Tech Show, which is produced every Saturday that I'm here in Honolulu, the Gadget Professor, Robot Underpants, and the restart of the Chrome Show, which will be getting off the ground here again in another week. We didn't do one last Saturday due to still waiting on some stuff from Samsung to come back, but hopefully we reintroduce the Chrome Show here very, very shortly. Of course, I want to give a warm welcome to all of you that are part of the Ohana, part of the family here, family of listeners of the show. I want to thank you for staying subscribed and being here. And of course, if you're a listener from any country around the world, hey, thanks for taking the time and tuning in or watching, whatever it may be. It is greatly appreciated as well. And of course, I know that my Google Plus follower count or circle count, I don't know how they actually are terming it these days, but those numbers have recently just really exploded. And I want to welcome anyone that's new, that's checking out the show for the very first time. One way you can really stay abreast of what I put together here for you is by signing up for the newsletter. The newsletter is essentially a one-way emailing that comes to you after each show. It contains all the content that I'm going to cover tonight, all the links and all the basically inside information. And basically, it has most of the content that you have right on the website, but in an email form. So definitely get signed up for the newsletter. That will remind you that there's a new show. And of course, by being subscribed to it, you automatically will have the show in your portable media device, and you'll be able to listen to the show on the way to work or in the gym or wherever it may be that you consume new media content. Of course, if you are wanting to watch the show, basically kick back in your lazy boy and you have a Roku or a Boxy, you can do that as well on the Tech Podcast channel on those devices. Just go ahead and add the Tech Podcast channel and you'll find us in the lineup on those two channels. Of course, if you have comments on today's show, you can reach me here, and you can follow me at Geek News on Twitter. I'm Todd Cochran on Google+, and of course, the same on Facebook. You can email me as well at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Or, of course, if you want to comment and provide live feedback, or as live as it really can be, you can dial our hotline. It's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 619-342-7365. Well, everyone, got a lot to go over today as far as tech content goes. We've got a lot of stuff happening. And of course, I want to welcome our sponsors for October. I'm happy to say that we've got GoDaddy back with us for October, and also Citrix GoToMeeting. We're going to be introducing some additional new features of Citrix GoToMeeting product with HD Faces tonight to you, so that I think you're going to be pretty excited about the ability of being able to really hold meetings anywhere, any place, anytime. And I'll get into that a little more here in a few moments. But I do want to take just a moment to talk about GoDaddy. You guys have known that GoDaddy's been a sponsor here for a long time, and they put together some deals for us periodically, and we've got one for this month. And this is kind of a cool offering here. What I've got is the ability for you to have or utilize what's called the GoDaddy online file folder. And this is really a great way to back up, store, and share your files. And with this deal, what I'm going to do is I'm getting you the deluxe plan for $1.99 a month. If you sign up for 12 months, you'll be able to capture that. Then you save yourself. It's not a huge savings, but this is not a very expensive product to start with. If you look on the website, and I'm bringing that up, it's generally $250 a month. So I'm going to get you the deluxe plan for what the economy cost at $1.99. So that's $24 a year. And what you're going to get is you're going to get 100 gigs of storage space, unlimited sharing. You can have backups being done manually or automatically. And of course, there's lots of cool features and access via your PC, your Mac, via devices. You can log in and get to the content anytime. It's all secure. And really what you're doing is you're saving about 91% over online backup and storage services. If you want to compare, and something here that's kind of interesting is here's a chart that really shows you the price breakdown, and it really goes into the full breadth of what they make available and the different prices between GoDaddy, Box.net, Carbonite, Dropbox, and Mozy. So it gives you a full of what the what the price differential is, so you can check that out. But really, all you got to do is go over to GoDaddy.com, check out online file folder, and you can again sign up and by using my promo code GeekFile. That's GeekFile to get $1.99 on the deluxe offer, as long as you sign up for 12 months. If you're not interested in the online file folder program, you can go to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy and basically get access to all my codes. Todd20 will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. ComSale and ComSale2 will get you .coms and .com renewals. Aloha will save you $20 on any order, $75 or more, or even if you're renewing SSL certificates, you can get those for $12.99. So we want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at GNC. And of course, take time to go over there and check them out. And there's information for those of you that are on watching live. You can see the URL to go to check everything. Well, let's talk a little bit about what's been going on here. This weekend really was a busy one for me. Every two or three days before a new quarter, I'm really pretty slammed, and largely because I'm launching all of our new ad deals for all of our folks that are on campaigns over at Raw Voice. And sometimes I get a little frustrated because we had a significant amount of inventory this quarter. And I was going to add, I had a pretty good figure on what type of shows we were going to add. And some shows just kind of shoot themselves in the foot. They really don't pay attention to what they're doing. They don't have all the prerequisites done so that they can be included on ad buys. And you have to pass them over, and it really pains me. So I sent out a newsletter over the weekend to our content creator saying, hey, shape up so I can, put money in your pocket. And it's always disappointing for me not being able to do that. So I got a lot of email this weekend giving people instruction on what to do, and plus launching the campaigns for those that were ready and making sure we all had all the inventory moved. Along with that, the podcast awards review is in progress, and we expect it's going a little bit behind schedule, but our goal is to announce the slate this coming Saturday. So if everything goes right, we'll stream that live and announce the slate of shows that made it in for voting. So I hope that hope we all get done. I'm sure it's going to be down the wire just like it is. It's always a tight process. And this time I've given us 7 days instead of 10. And it's even a little tighter here. Of course, Saturday Morning Tech, I had Annie McCaskey from RVNN.TV, and I had Dr. Bill from Dr. Bill TV on the show. So I spent about an hour and a half with them talking about the previous week's tech. So I hope you'll check that show out. But one thing I wanted to show you guys before we get into the full content tonight is a pretty cool new feature here that I've got with my... Let's see if I can cue this correctly. And let me bring this back so that you guys can see this. And what I'm going to do is I've got my iPad in my hand. And for those of you that are listening, you're like, I don't understand what you're going to do here, Todd. But what the TriCaster has is it's got a net feature. And basically, I can take a video that's on AirPlay on my iPad, and I can send it to the TriCaster. So let me go ahead and cue this. It's got a little box. I send it over to the TriCaster. And is it going to show up? Let me go ahead and hit play. Did it go? Okay, let's go back to the iPad. And let me get it playing. All right. And so famous last words, right, that this thing's going to work. So we go over to the 850. And where are you? all good things go to I swear I had it working. Oh, there it comes. Okay, here we go. Watch this. This is from Saturday Morning Tech. So I sent this. I sent what you're seeing there and hearing the audio from. I sent that via the iPad right over to the box. It was a little bit slow on getting queued up, but it was pretty cool. And I can switch back and forth on it. And so what I can do then is I can go right back, and when I want to cue something else, I go ahead and switch it back to the iPad. It brings it back on the screen. So kind of a cool feature that the TriCaster has now. So I wish I could do this remotely, have someone watching the show and say, hey, Todd, I want you to check this video out and then send it to me that way. They're working on some cool tools, so I'm hoping that will be possible in the near future. But kind of cool feature that they've added, and we'll be using that, I bet you, a lot when we go to CES. All right, let me go ahead and look at the rest of the list here, the stuff I've got in the stack. Hey, don't forget, you can pick out great stuff from the show at cafepress.com. So if you're looking for Ohana wear, stuff to wear that's supporting the show, cafepress.com/Ohana store. Check out all the shirts, t-shirts, mugs, hats, all that stuff over there. Every purchase, part of that proceeds, a part of that profit comes back to the show. Of course, Sam, one of our long-term Ohanas in Albuquerque, runs the Ohana store at cafepress.com. We want to thank him for doing that. And you see those t-shirts and stuff in the show notes as well. All right, finally, let's go ahead and take care of the last piece of business, and we'll get right into the tech. I know that you've waited here a while. But, you know, with everyone working on the go, holding a impromptu meeting can be virtually impossible. You know, if you're in your car and you're on the go, and I spend a lot of time in my vehicle with kids that are in all kinds of activities. My wife and I are double dutying and running around and getting them from place to place. So really, and being that I'm in Hawaii, sometimes I'm on the road taking them to school very early in the morning, and I have maybe a meeting I need to do right after I drop them off. Man, that'd be like 1 o'clock on the East Coast. So I don't really have to worry about where I'm at anymore, because with GoToMeeting by Citrix, you can host your meeting online from your computer while your attendees join from any computer or an iPad, or I can have someone else launch a meeting and I can join in. And really, and now from any iPhone or any Android device, you're able to make this happen. So that's kind of cool. So if you got an Android or a iOS device, you basically can join a meeting and participate. And with the free GoToMeeting app, really anyone can attend, and they just tap the email invitation and they'll instantly join. It's really that easy. And this new app is absolutely fantastic. The GoToMeeting app, available on both the Android App Store and the iTunes App Store, is available. And you can see the host desktop right from your smartphone or tablet. So really, I can attend a meeting anywhere while I'm on the go, while in a taxi, waiting at the airport, wherever. And I highly recommend GoToMeeting. It will change the way you work. Now, here's the story. I want you to try the GoToMeeting app for free. Go to the App Store or Android Market to download the free app, start joining GoToMeeting sessions from anywhere. And as a listener of this show, you can visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use a promo code podcast to get a free 30-day trial. And we want to thank GoToMeeting for being here. Check out those apps and get online and attend meetings or host your own. It works out slick. It really, really does. And what the trick I do is I'll have Angelo start a meeting from his office. He'll get it up and running. I'll join the session. And then basically I can host the meeting even when I'm mobile, if my wife's driving, to call right in with use the onboard communication on the app or via phone. It's slick. It really, really is. Okay, let me go ahead here and bounce into the full tech content tonight. I got a whole bunch of stuff. And my wife was swearing to me before I started the show. She said, It's going to rain. Make sure you close your window on one side. Because what I did, and I don't know if you guys can see this, those of you that are watching, let's see if I can. I wonder if I can get the right angle. Some complaints on Saturday Morning Tech on the audio on the stream being a little low. So I added some more horsepower between the recording decks where we're, you know, doing the standard recording for the show over here where the audio goes down. And then I basically dropped a mixer that I had kind of in a box that I hadn't used in a while. I dropped that on the desk next to the TriCaster and to boost the volume up so that we could get it to a level really that was acceptable. And what it is the primary mixer that I have on the, I'm pushing too many buttons tonight. The mixer that I've got that records the audio is fine, but it's more a digital recorder. So all the levels are perfect and I'm pushing into an analog input on the TriCaster. Now if the TriCaster supported what's called AES, actually the TriCaster does support AES, but my mixer doesn't. And that way I would really be able to eliminate that second piece. So we're going to see how it works and we'll do some tests on tonight when the audio is done recording and see how it turns out. But I think those of you on the stream and also on the recorded media will like it. And for some reason I got bounced out of my chat room. So if you're up in the chat room, I'm trying to get back in there. Let's start the story right out tonight. The three strike rule is in effect in France. And the French authority tasked with reducing file sharing has sent out more than 650,000 first strike warnings in the first 12 months of active operations. They say that excess of 44,000 citizens are now on their second strike, and 60 internet subscribers are in their final and most dramatic stage of the three strikes regime. So essentially, there's already, here we are, just a year, and we've already got 60 people potentially in France that could be bounced forever. And this is going to be an interesting development to see as they start bouncing people in this anti-piracy process. And it's even more surprising that they've had to send a second notice to 44,000 people. And I just wonder what happens when you get 30,000 or 40,000 people that you've kicked off the internet. What kind of response is going to be from the general public? And whether or not the outcry is... Because, just think getting kicked off the internet forever is... That's a significant issue, and that's the, I guess you shouldn't be sharing media, but wow, it's surprising. It really, really is. And if they don't take it serious, they're going to be off the internet. So, just think if they introduce something like that here in the United States, they're already talking about working with ISPs to go through a process with us for those that are doing peer-to-peer stuff. They're already talking about doing that. It's a voluntary thing. And there's going to be, a multi-step process that you'll go through before you get bounced. But what happens when they start trying to, take people off the internet here in the United States? I don't know what's going to happen and what provisions, does that mean that you're going to have someone else buy your internet account? Or are you going to have your wife do it? Or does it mean the whole family's off? And there's just all kinds of technical stuff that's going to have to happen before that. Well, tomorrow, of course, is the big day. Tomorrow is Apple's announcement where they are going to be introducing some new iPhones. And while the rumor mill is, man, just exploding, and probably by the time most of you listen to this show, the announcements will have already been made. So I'm not going to go too long on this tonight because, again, this will be out early in the morning for most of you. And the event is just probably just a few hours away. But rumor mill saying that Sprint has committed $20 billion to order 30 million iPhones over the next couple of years. Now, the thing that's a shocker here is that it appears that Sprint may have secured exclusive rights to the iPhone 5. And that they will have a head start of 4 to 5 months on the iPhone 5 before anyone else, and that the iPhone 5 from Sprint will have WiMAX 4G available in the phone. So they have, people haven't commented here from Apple or Sprint yet on this, and we'll know tomorrow. But does that mean that AT&T and Verizon are going to get like a 4S, you know, a secondary, you know, a new iPhone, but just like they did with 3G, 3GS, are they going to get a 4S? So that, that'll be seen tomorrow on what pops with the news. But this was an article that was over on CNET, and this was initially broke, I believe, by the Wall Street Journal, and some people are saying this is impossible. This will not happen. One person even said that he would chew off his hand if this turned out to be true. Well, I'd like to see the guy, if it does come true, I hope he's, people hold us to his dare where he'll start chewing off his hand. Now, obviously he's not going to do that, but, interesting to see how it's going to turn out tomorrow. Also, it's being reported that iTunes is going to potentially have app rentals, which is kind of odd. Now, why would you rent an app? They're $1.99, $2. And I guess if the app is $80, maybe you want to rent it to try it before you buy it. But, you know, Amazon currently offers a try before you buy program. And apps are, you know, the apps are automatically removed if you don't buy them. So maybe this will be the same thing with the iPhone. You'll get to use the app in the full, you know, full user mode for 10 days or something. And then if you don't buy it, it pulls it. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with this. But this is a potential announcement. Lots of people are going to be live streaming this and live or live blogging it. Apple's not allowing any live streaming per se. So what you're going to want to do if you're going to want to watch this, you're going to want to have your computers basically tuned in to Engadget.com. It's probably going to be one of the best places. I'm sure there's going to be multiple blogger sites, but Mashable always does a real good job on these big announcements like this. They have a pretty big team there. So starting at 1 o'clock Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, this is when things will go down. Now that, of course, is 7 a.m. my time, and I'll definitely be tuned in and watching the announcement and the live blogging from the event and looking at the screenshots coming. So it should be an exciting day. Now, I think for the very first time ever, I've actually linked, and one of the articles in the show notes tonight is actually going to be a long article that was written by Robert Scoble over on Google Plus. And, you know, Scoble is pretty much, for any long pieces like this, besides what he's doing for the company that pays his salary, he has been going to, you know, writing longer and longer posts on Google Plus. And I don't even want to try this, to be honest with you. But he did. He did a great job here. And it looks like a regular blog post. But he really kind of brings up a couple of points. And I you know, it goes along with some stuff I've been talking about, but I want to expand upon here. They don't think Steve Jobs is going to be at the event. There was an early rumor today saying that he might show up. I just don't know. But one thing is for sure is that Steve Jobs' influence will definitely be a telling during this event. And I don't think, you know, everything they've had in the pipeline for a while, he has had a direct hand in for sure. So here's, and I agree completely with Scoble, He feels that the deal that they've done with Facebook will be stunning in depth, and there's going to be just incredible integration with your iPhone and the Facebook app. You know, they actually built API stuff for them before. We don't want to forget about that, so that, you know, Facebook was able to develop real deep into the iPhone itself. And the second thing he thinks is going to be a big announcement, in which I've been strategizing on, is a real explanation of the three-screen strategy at Apple. Now, I've been talking about on this show and others that, you know, I kind of laughing that Apple does nothing as a hobby. But he feels that Apple is going to expand its TV hobby into a real business. So, you know, I'm of the mind that there is going to be an Apple TV announced. I don't know if it's going to be at this show. I mean, a true Apple TV. If they announce it tomorrow, whew, it'll be big. It really, really will. And they'll have to really wow people to do that. Now, we know that the Apple TV device is being launched now in more countries, so that tells you something in itself. So we'll see what happens here on the demos, and we'll see if they actually move Apple TV forward. They almost have to. You know, Xbox is getting ready to make their jump, and they're going to be rolling out a brand new dashboard. So it's going to have all these TV options. So there's no, you know, reason why Apple will not do the same. And at the same time, you know, Google's getting ready to punch the update to Google TV itself as well. And so, you know, there's going to be some heavy competition in this space. And these three companies, and I would say even Roku as well, you know, Roku's got a huge head start on them. I mean, actually, Roku has, their devices are going into Target now. Target stores. So that's going to be an additional place where those devices are going to be available, and at a price point that'll be very attractive to mom and pop consumers out there that don't maybe want to spend a couple hundred bucks for a Google TV device, or they're maybe past the gaming station and are not going to have an Xbox sitting on the shelf. Although the Apple TV offering in the hockey puck is still going to be $99. You know, there's going to be some, there's three or four options out there for all of us. And of course, I've got all those devices in my living room right now because we, you know, we've cut the cord. But I'm excited to see what happens tomorrow. I'm hoping for big things. I'm hoping for an Apple TV announcement, a true TV with Apple integration inside. I may not get it. It may be in the spring. But I truly believe it's coming. Will they do it at this event? Maybe or maybe not. But again, if they do, it has to be something extraordinary. It has to be something that is just like an iPhone event. When they introduced the iPhone, no one could believe what they were announcing and they were going to be able to do what they did. And, you know, that's going to have to be the experience if they announce a true TV offering, which will be an Apple-branded TV. So we'll see. How many of you are Dignation fans? The popular web talk show is going to end its run in December. Kevin Rose and Alex are basically hanging up their online video stuff. So this is this show's not going to close in December. We're going to be here, but it is a interesting move. Their explanation for ending it, they're saying they've grown up just like the web has. We started the show as kids. Both of us came into web video at a time when web video wasn't even a word. So he says there's other things creatively that we've started to do that are a little more fresh and exciting. And of course, Revision 3 is probably going to be heavily impacted by this because, you know, Revision 3, Dignation was is an anchor show. And of course, Jim Lauterbach over there, a good friend of mine, I'm sure he's sad to see them go. I'm sure it's going to be a significant revenue hit for them. Dignation itself probably gets 250,000 views a week or a month. I don't know, probably 250,000 views a week. I would imagine a show of that caliber. And it's going to be big, but we'll see where this goes. But Dignation's been online since July of 2005. As you guys know, this show started October 2004 with really Me, which was really a no-name brand on the internet in October 2004. The advantage I had, I was one of the first, you know, first 100 or so podcasters. And at the same time, I, you know, produced my book on podcasting in 2005 that really, you know, pushed my name forward, which really helped. So, but these two guys are epic, you know, people know them. They're, you know, Kevin Rose, my God, the guy is a genius. And he's, you know, he's a very smart entrepreneur as well. Very smart, very rich at the same time. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with Dignation, and it's who kind of falls into place to pick up those listeners. But if you're a viewer of Dignation, I'd love to have you here on a more permanent basis. But we'll see where that goes. All right. Facebook has always been, you know, they've been on this bandwagon. We're not spying on you. We're not tracking you when you're not on our website. But Facebook has filed for a patent to track its users on other sites. you know, a bunch of people pointed this out and said, on one hand, you're saying we're not tracking you. And on the other hand, you've just filed a patent to say you want to, and probably you've already had this implemented for a while because, you know, it's something that you file a patent to protect something that you've developed. And I'm sure they've got this IP already dialed in. But so it's a method described for tracking information about the activity of users of a social networking system while on another domain. The method includes maintaining a profile for each one of the users of the social networking system. Each profile identifies a connection to one or more users of the social networking system and includes information about the user. The method additionally includes receiving one or more communications from a third, one or more communications from a third-party website having a different domain than the social network system, each message communicating an action taken by a user of the social networking system on the third-party website. The method additionally includes logging the actions taken on the third-party website in the social networking system, each logged action including information about the actions. In other words, they're tracking everything. So, you know, we this is like three shows in a row we've been talking about Facebook and their privacy concerns. Wow. So they're now tracking you when you are visiting the divorce lawyer site, when you're out visiting an adult video site, when you're out visiting a medical site. They're tracking you when you're reading news, whether it be a left-wing, right-wing, middle-wing, religious, whatever you're reading, they're tracking. They say they're not, but why do they have a patent application pending? Okay. So I just hope someone gets involved here and starts asking them some very hard questions. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, we've got a New York State Senator, and this is an article over in Tech Dirt, says that we've got too much free speech. Now, you guys know I spent 24 years in the Navy. I was all over the world and, of course, was heavily involved in the war on terror after 9/11. And even back in the early 80s, was involved in stuff that was going on with the Russians and so forth. And I'm a firm believer in the, you know, the ability of us to maintain our free speech rights. And here you've got a senator in New York State who says that we've got too much free speech. And this bill attempts to list out various examples of types of cyber stalking, cyberbullying, and some other things as too. So here's some things that they want to limit and criminalize. Leaving improper messages online message boards or sending hurtful and damaging messages to others. Flaming hurtful, cruel, and oftentimes intimidating message intended to inflame, incite, or enrage. Happy slapping, that's recording physical assaults on mobile phones or digital cameras, then distributing them to others. Trolling, deliberately and deceitfully posting information to entice genuine, helpful people to respond, often emotional, often done to provoke others. Exclusion, intentionally and cruelly excluding someone from an online group. Are they got to be kidding me? Now, hey, I grew up in the BBS days, and flame wars were famous. But you know what? You learn to turn it off. And you learn to ignore people. But, you know, right or wrong, positive or negative, and I know I'm not in positive people that bully online. I'm not a fan of flaming. I'm not a fan of trolls. I'm not a fan of people that are, exclusive. You know, this is all, you know, goes against the fabric of normal daily interaction with people. But there are people out there that are like that. Do I want to limit their right to be a flamer or to be a troll? I don't think so. Because that, what happens then? What do we move into the next stage where all of a sudden now they're going to have online police. They're going to be watching what we say and we're arrested for, you know, saying something aggressive to someone. You know, where's this going to go? Now, again, we've had a lot of issues with cyberbullies and that type of stuff, but cyberbullies have been around forever. This is nothing new. Back in the dial-up days, they were even worse. I mean, it was absolutely unbelievable how bad some people were. But I still think that anytime you try to limit speech, whether it be publicly, online, it's a dangerous road to go down, even if you don't like it. So again, if someone says, I'm going to, you know, if they threaten you, then obviously there's legal recourse. You know, there's when law enforcement, can you convey a threat or tell somebody you're going to do something to them, it can be an issue. And there's all kinds of ways to resolve stuff. And also just turning it off. But I don't know, maybe I'll get some feedback here. Do we need a law that limits free speech as much as we hate how some people do stuff sometimes? It's a little bit makes you go, I don't know. But I'm a strong believer in the First Amendment. And you can say what you're going to say. It's not to mean that, you know, you can, you know, you, if you say some things, you're going to land in jail or get a visit by the FBI or Secret Service, especially depends on what you say. But, you know, you have the right to say it. You may end up in the slammer if you do, but at the same point, you got the right to say it and live with the consequences of doing that. But this report and this bill is poorly written. It's in a PDF file that is like all caps. I don't understand what they've done here. Someone needs to learn to use the shift key a little more. But anyway, that'll be up in the show notes article from Tech Dirt. The Electronic Frontier Foundation today announced that California Readers Privacy Act has been signed into law. I was not familiar with this before reading this day on the EFF website. But Governor Jerry Brown has signed the Reader Privacy Act. And this basically updates readers' privacy laws to cover new technologies like electronic books and online book services, as well as bookstores. The ACLU, EFF were all sponsors of the bill, and they had the support from Google, TechNet, Consumer Federation of California, along with the Internet Archive and so forth. So really what this is reading choices reveal intimate facts about our lives. You know, if you are a reader of Playboy, or if you are a reader of romance novels, or you are a reader of a Marxist book or whatever it may be, that reveals a lot about you yourself. And so what California has done here is they've led the way in saying, hey, there shall be no records kept of the type of books you've read or bought or purchased, and invoking strong privacy protections here. So we'll see what happens with this. And, you know, what else, you know, this, what people are doing now is they're taking information about people and using them. So if you have a problem with your wife and you're going into a divorce court, the wife or the spouse, a significant other, can take in subpoena information, say, see, he's always reading adult material, or he's, you know, this, and it builds a profile about people, and they don't allow that to happen. So we should be able to read anything from politics, religion, to health without worrying about what the government is going to be, you know, if they're going to be looking over our shoulders or not. And this would be a good one, I think, for the rest of the country as well. Okay, for those of you that are Linux administrators, this is an article over on the Register. Of course, we knew that the Linux archive had gotten hacked, and there was some concern about the viability of all of the builds. And of course, with these intrusions that happened that maintained the operating system, now the folks are sending out emails to Linux kernel developers, basically saying, hey, check your servers, make sure there's nothing going on. But the project leaders are requiring all developers to regenerate the cryptographic keys used to upload source code to the site and ensure their systems are free of rootkits and other types of malware. And of course, with the compromise of kernel.org and related machines, that they are feel that some developer systems were penetrated. And one of the top admins said, as we seek to secure our infrastructure, it is imperative that nobody falls victims to the belief it cannot happen to them. We all need to check our systems for intrusions. So this is huge. And boy, oh boy, it's nothing like the source code getting compromised. It's not a good thing. Good win in the U.S. Supreme Court today. ASCAP lost one. It's a big loss for them. I'm really excited about this, the decision of the court to not take a case that had been upheld by a lower court, essentially saying that if you are providing music via download, that is not a live performance. So basically, music downloads are not public performances and not subject to their bizarre formula they use to charge on how much you have to pay them to access or actually pay them to let other people listen to music. So that's one of the things that we had in the early days of podcasting, where people wanted to have top 40 music in their shows. There was no real rules about it and considered live performance. People were paying big bucks to have a non-pod safe music in their shows. And this just kind of redefines, and this is great news for content creators, because now you can just get the ASCAP license for download and pay that based on downloads. You don't have to pay that live performance fee, which is much, much higher. So good news on that from the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, I've been talking about this with a lot of people for a long time. When we were at NAB, the biggest question I was asked by companies that came up and talked to us at the National Association of Broadcasters show was asking me about content. And there is this huge, huge demand right now by content sites to get access to more content. Well, YouTube is paying over $100 million for original content. Now, this is big. This really is. And I'm sure that this number is going to go up dramatically. We've already talked about them probably spending as much as $750 million over the past year, but they are now coming in with $100 million to develop original content for dozens of new YouTube channels. And this was a report that originally started on Wall Street Journal, but YouTube hopes to roll out the new channels next year. And they've reached agreements with skateboarders like Tony Hawk, and they've actually worked with some media companies that we all know, Warner Brothers and News Corp and so forth. But they're going out and going to buy original and have new original content developed. Now, this is exciting stuff, but all at the same time, content like mine and other people that create content, we're now becoming a commodity because everyone is trying to get access to this content because they're trying to fill their content channels on their devices. And it goes true with Amazon as well. AOL. AOL's also dropping big bucks on original web video content. I didn't even know AOL had some original video offerings. But AOL has seen a ton of growth in its video properties over the last year and is looking to bolster that part of its business even more as well with a slate of web original content. And they really want to steal TV ad dollars away. In this article on GigaOM.com, AOL says that its unique viewers have increased 86% over 3 years. It clocks now more than 43.9 million uniques and 403.6 million video streams per month. And you know, that's one thing. We clock millions, pretty close to this number of our network of 9,500 content creators. We clock a pretty high number in uniques. And actually, I'm surprised their number's as low as it is. But they say it's a huge jump. And they basically say over 18 months, the viewer curve has went up. Part of it's the economy. People are cutting the cord and they're going to online to get their content. So both AOL and YouTube, again, are spending big, big dollars to get access to content. And we've had a number of companies from overseas trying to get English-speaking content on their devices. So it's a good time to really be a content creator. It really is. Things are starting to really kind of shape up a lot better for many of us. Now, at the same time, the idiots over at Hulu, they're trying to make the Hulu experience suck even more. You know, the TV folks have made it clear. They want to kill Hulu. Even though they own it, they want to kill it. They're just terrified of cannibalizing their old revenue streams. Because their old revenue streams are huge, huge money makers. They receive billions of dollars in revenue because of shoving this content into the cable that many of you are paying for. People that are looking to buy Hulu have figured out that the TV companies who own Hulu want to phase out ad-supported content, and they want people to pay a per-head price for that content. In other words, if you want to watch a certain number of shows, you're going to pay a certain amount of money for that access each month. They don't want that gravy train that they've had with TV to go away. So this is just more backward-looking TV guys. And they're going to kill Hulu. They're going to ruin a good thing. And but they got to figure this out fast, because I think the media, I think the general population is starting to wake up about the offerings out there and getting a little sick of paying that $100 plus cable bill every month. Man, it's a beautiful thing not to have to pay. It really, really is. But we'll see. And I know many of you love Hulu, but, you know, if they take it away from you and you make you forced to watch it on TV again, you know, are you going to go and revert back to paying that cable bill? Are you going to shift gears here a little bit? We're going to talk about space. You ever dreamed about being an astronaut? Well, do you have the right stuff? You could be NASA's next astronaut. NASA said today that the beginning in early November, they're going to be accepting applications for its next class of astronaut candidates. There's an application available on the astronauts.nasa.gov website, and you'll be able to find it over there. But you have to have a bachelor's degree in math or science. You have to have some engineering as well, or at least 3 years of a relevant professional experience. And if you've flown high-performance jets, if you, in other words, you're a military guy, you're probably going to be eligible for it. And NASA's going to announce the names of those chosen sometimes in 2013. What a great way. What a great job. So if you've got a bachelor's degree in math, science, engineering, or at least 3 years of relevant professional experience, go out there and fill out that application. What a chance of a lifetime. Now, it may be a while before you fly again, but at least your hat will be in the ringer here. I kind of got this messed up. How did that happen? Well, I got more space news for you here in a little bit, but I had him wrong place in the stack. If you're down in Australia and you're doing peer-to-peer stuff, stand by. Australia is the next battlefront. They say there's going to be going after a large number of people, at least 9,000 infringements initially. Down under. So if you're listening to the show down under and you're doing peer-to-peer stuff, watch your mailbox. And also there's a great article on torrentfreak.com talking about how a private anti-piracy investigator talked about the tactics that the MPAA has used all over the world. This is a great read, and it just goes to tell you the lengths that they have went to boost statistics, courting the police, and really kind of making the public PR thing work in their favor. So I have the link up in the show notes for that. Won't go into that in any details. someone suggested to me that I do a Kickstarter for this show. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know if a Kickstarter is a thing I should consider to do or not. And they basically said, why don't you do a Kickstarter and have a quarterly fundraising just like NPR does. And I don't know. I don't know if I wanted to consider doing a Kickstarter. And usually Kickstarter, they want you to have something special that you're going to do. But what they're finding is a lot of content creators are using Kickstarter to do fundraising for some new series on programming that they're putting together. Kind of an interesting model here. And one guy was successful in raising about $118,000 to do his next project, a next series in videos that he was going to record. So independent content creators are starting to use this a lot more. But the newest documentary by director Gary Hutswitz, Urbanized, was the one that raised $118,000. Apparently, altogether, there had been 3,500 successfully funded projects in the Kickstarter film and video category, raising more than $35 million from donors, $12 million for narrative features, $12 million for documentary features, $11 million for short films, and $2 million apiece for web series and animation. So an interesting way to raise money for doing your projects. I just don't know if that works for this show, and we'll be looking at it a lot closer. As I said earlier in the show, Target has started selling the Roku box. I have a link up to that in the show notes as well. If you've got a if you've got a Mac, have you decided to run Windows on it? If you haven't, and you haven't decided which way to go, if you're going to run VMware Fusion 4 or if you're going to be running Parallels Desktop Version 7, the folks over at Ars Tech has a great write-up on basically a virtual showdown of these two products, especially the updated projects. So if you're looking to run Windows on your Mac or another operating system, even a Linux or something like that, they go into system requirements and interface changes and how the screens look and everything else in those devices. Now, I'm a big Parallels fan. I've been using that. I did not update to Parallels 7 because I had heard some negative things that we talked about on this show earlier that, you know, it made me kind of a little bit leery on updating to Parallels 7. But if you're looking for a way to run Windows on a Mac, this might be a great article for you to review here. Hey, IBM stock is past declining Microsoft stock, so that's pretty shocking. You know, for a long time, IBM was down, but they've had great success in their mainframe business, and it's kind of brought them back. So IBM is now the second largest tech company by market cap, just behind Apple and just a hair ahead of Microsoft. It's the first time in 15 years that Big Blue has looked larger than Redmond. So that's a big deal here, folks. It really, really is. And looking at the stock price, let's see here. IBM was at $174.87. Google's at $5.15. Apple's at $3.81. Microsoft's at $24.89. I don't think Microsoft out of the game. That's actually a pretty good stock price. Might be time to jump in and buy some Microsoft. You definitely can't afford to buy any Apple or Google, and even IBM's a little bit pricey, but definitely Microsoft stock price is pretty good price right now if you want to jump in on that. I think there's still a safe bet. Hey, over on uncrunch.com, well, boy, I tell you, you give it to Michael Arrington. MJ Siegler has joined Arrington over at uncrunch.com. And so he's going to be their newest general partner at the Crunch Fund, and he's going to be working on Apple stuff specific. So it's kind of funny. So all of a sudden now, it looks like Michael's just bringing his whole crowd over to uncrunch.com. It'll be curious to see what happens here. I'm waiting for the lawsuits to start flying. All right, if you're an Android user, the Chrome browser may be coming to Android. That's, huh? the Chrome browser may be coming to Android. It's already on the Android, isn't it? What is this article? While Google has consistently given the impression that Chrome and Android are two separate entities that will never meet, it seems that they may be preparing to add the Chrome browser to Android. I don't have an Android phone, so I didn't know that there was no Chrome browser on there, so forgive me if I didn't know that. So it's a recent code insertion uncovered over at Chromium shows that revision 102807 is the upstream set build target environment for Android. Okay. What kind of a browser you guys used in Android? Is it its own hybrid? That doesn't make no sense. But that's what they're saying. Making sure this is written this year. Yep, October 3rd, 2011. I need to play with a Chrome phone more. Excuse me, an Android phone more. I'll have a tablet soon. All right, some more space news here. Saturn's Geyser Moon Enceladus shows off for NASA. That was a poorly written title. Let me show you this NASA image. This is going to blow you away. So Cassini's out there on target, right? Circling Saturn. And they got a shot here of of one of Saturn's moons, Enceladus. I'm probably saying that wrong. But look at this image. You can see these water, and they're saying it's water and ice geysers coming out of the moon. And pretty spectacular. Obviously, the sun is illuminating that, and Cassini was in the right place at the right time. But jets of water and vapor and ice. And this was the closest approach of Cassini. And it was only 62 miles above the moon's surface. And this close approach was designed to give Cassini instruments, including the ion and neutral mass spectrometer, the chance to taste the jets themselves. So pretty cool. This is an awesome image. Link will be up in the show notes on this. Also, I've got a new image for my desktop tonight. I'll get to that here in a second. But I want to show you real quick this video. Now, you have to watch fast. And those of you that are listening, this won't be very long, so you won't have to worry about missing too much. But this is a 12-second video of a comet hitting the sun, and I'm going to explode this out. I'm going to go ahead and switch, and then we'll go ahead and play this here. So what it shows is it shows the comet coming in, and it's just a remarkable boom, hits the sun. But at the same time, they had a mass coronal ejection on the other side of the moon. So scientists are a little bit scratching their head to say, did that comet cause that to happen? So they're not 100% sure. They're going to be taking a lot closer look at this, but it's pretty impressive nonetheless. There's several videos out on this and from different perspective and different instruments. So I'll have a link up in the show notes for the main one I showed in the video tonight. Also, there's the ozone hole above the Arctic. Yes, the Arctic, the North Pole, has gotten a little bit bigger this year than normal, and it's getting a little bit of press. I guess this is not something that's overly unusual, but they say the size of it has gotten pretty big, and that is where a lot of discussion has been. The Soviets are pretty lucky. They're back in the space business. The Soyuz rocket launch restores Russian navigation system. It's a fresh satellite of the Russia's Glasnost navigation network launched aboard a modernized Soyuz rocket on Sunday. And this is the first flight since the mishap doomed a mission in August. So they got into orbit and got satellites out to 12,000 miles. So the Russians are pretty happy about that. They have a couple more launches here before they put a human body back on top of the candle there before they go back to the International Space Station. And guys know I'm always looking for very cool pictures to have on my desktop, specifically space pictures. And I found one today that is just remarkable. It's called the Rosetta Nebula. And this is remarkable. It's a remarkable image. I have the link up in the show notes for you. And if you find cool space pictures like this, I'm changing stuff every week or so. And it's just fascinating to look at. It really is. Also, if you're out and about on October 8th, the Draconids are coming. That's a meteorite shower, and it's going to produce a storm of observable meteorites. This is always a fun show to watch and get in the darkest place you can and watch. It's a beautiful sight. I was lucky to be flying an area one time when it was very, very dark area and sitting in an aircraft observer window and was just watching this magnificent show. And it can really be magnificent, even on, especially on night vision goggles. You can really see them coming in. It's pretty cool. Adobe Flash Player 11 in Air 3 is available later today. So that's out and available. So be aware of that update as well. Also, the folks over at BitTorrent have been doing some new streaming tests. You know that BitTorrent has been testing its upcoming live streaming platform. And now the company, I guess, is ready to take the next step. And they have a new site at live.bittorrent.com. And they're going to be doing some independent music concerts and stuff. So I'm excited to see what they're able to come up with here. And I can't wait until they release this and make this available for everyone. And this is going to be awesome. So we'll see where this goes and how it builds out and whether or not it's going to work. But nothing like using peer-to-peer to keep the streaming costs down, because it can get very, very expensive. Now, Timelines.com sued Facebook over their new implementation of Timelines that's going to be released to the general public. The folks over at Gizmodo basically are just browbeating the folks at Timelines.com. But I don't blame the folks over there. They have got a product that was basically exactly the same thing that Facebook is implementing. And so they're going back to court next week. Now, the judge did not do a injunction initially, but they are going back to court next week, and Facebook is not allowed to roll out this new feature until they basically get this court appearance done. But there is a trademark issue here as well. And, you know, let's be honest, if someone has developed something and they are the first and they've got it developed and they have some trademark, they got the trademark on it, then the other company wants to use that name, they need to pay. I'm right now in the middle of filing a new trademark on a new something we're going to announce soon. And, you know, we worked hard to find a name that wasn't used, that was, viable, explain what we were doing, and it's an important part of business. It becomes part of your IP and it adds value to your company. And, and especially if you've got technology behind it that you're introducing. And while we may not have a patent behind that technology, at least the name will be caused to stick. And we'll see what happens here. Now, I'm sure Facebook is probably going to have to pay Timeline off, looking forward to do so. But yes, they should. They really should, based upon just general business practices. They were there first. So I don't know what Gizmodo is getting so pissy about. It really kind of bothers me. It does. And I'm not a big fan of patent litigation, but trademark stuff, that's viable reasons. All right, in Japan, boy, oh boy, talking about preying upon people's nerves. So if you want to get ready for the next natural disaster, you can buy a giant yellow floating ball. It's going to cost you about $4,000. You can put 4 people in it. So if you've got time to get in this thing and close the lid, you can ride out the storm. Looking inside this thing, there's actually a bar that you're supposed to hang on to. What about some straps to strap you in? I just don't know if I'd want to be in one of these things. It's probably better than being in a house that's crashing in on you. But at the same time, I don't know. This thing can hold 3 of your closest friends as well. So, I've got a big family. Do I need to buy 2 of these? I don't know. Anyway, there's a YouTube video about it. This guy explains is a project here in a 4-minute and 47-second video. Well, I'm already going to be running long, but it's okay. We got some time left here. Susan Bell wrote a good article about colleges struggling with student broadband demands. And colleges across the country. And if you are taking your kids, getting them ready, well, you're not probably in that mode right now. Some of you have just sent your kids off to college. But for those of you parents who are getting ready to face some kids going next year to college, one thing you want to do is look at the campus infrastructure as part of your visit as well. Apparently, many campuses are struggling to keep up with broadband demands, with students having a laptop, an iPad, or another tablet, maybe a Kindle, a mobile phone, and the amount of bandwidth usage that is going up is huge, and students demand and want the same type of access they had at home. You know, they're paying this huge tuition cost. And Susabel says that many campuses just are not keeping up with the necessary speed. And but she says, hey, you know, this is something you should look at. Anyway, I have the link up in the show notes, and this is a great article. Of course, Susabel is one of our writers at Geek News Central, and she does, she works with on a college, and knows what she's talking about on this. So definitely check it out. But anyway, the link is will be up in the show notes on this one. At the same time, Jeffrey Powers, one of our contributing writers as well, who he also does the Geekazine.com podcast at Geekazine.com, wrote an article up about Huffington Post on how they went over 1 billion page views in the last month. Talks about some of their engagement, some of their sites, and talks about their communities as well. And some interesting stats there. So the folks over at Huffington Post, under Arianna Huffington, you know, something about her, she just bothers me a little bit. But anyway, huge traffic. I built a huge empire there. Now, on a subject that is just absolutely disgusting and insensitive, the Transportation Security Administration basically forced a breast cancer patient to submit to a pat-down. They refused to let her show her ID card about her implants. And, you know, this is disgusting. At JFK, the TSA refused to let her show the card, explaining the details, and they required her to be physically groped by the PSA, with them threatening loudly that she wouldn't be able to fly otherwise. They did keep her out of sight from her luggage, which is another issue. And boy, oh boy. You know, this is, you know, when I got hurt and had, was wearing my clamshell from when I broke my back and had surgery and had pins put in and basically jacked my spine up, my burst compression fracture. You know, I would go through the TSA security, and I would have to go into a private area and essentially take my clamshell off, which is, you know, is a pain in the butt because you have to take a shirt off, and I didn't have lots of mobility, then take the clamshell off and stay perfectly straight while they check me, and then put the thing back on and get strapped back in. But they, you know, they have no consideration for people with medical issues, and this is such a sensitive thing for women, and it's so devastating to begin with. There has to be some compassion at some point. I just don't get it. I really don't. But I guess they're thinking she had a breast bomb or something, I guess. It's just sickening. All right, Rhapsody's reporting that they're going to acquire Napster, and that's big. So they're finalizing the purchase. It's going to happen by the end of November. So, wow, we'll see what happens, what they do with this, if they integrate it or just point to domain at their site. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see how this is going to happen. All right, Japan has reopened some towns near Fukushima. So, of course, the ones closest to the plant remain closed, but I'm sure being health conscious as they are in Japan, that it's if they wouldn't let them in unless it's safe, I'm sure there'll be lots of reporters in there making sure that the government's giving them the right information too. But it's been a while. It's been over 6 months. Is your old computer costing you more than you think? How many of you have taken an old computer and brought it offline and made it a home server? Have you paid attention to how much power that thing is using? Well, the folks over at extremetech.com have a great link to some home projects that you can, where you can go out and buy some parts that are real energy efficient. If you're looking to have a little home server where you can back stuff up to, they've got to talk about systems that don't require fans, not as much power, you know, a 15-watt power supply versus 150-watt power supply, and a number of things there. So anyway, I have the link up to this in the show notes. But just remember, you know, do the math there. A 150-watt power supply was essentially going to add about 1,000 kWh, kilowatt hours to your bill on a yearly basis, and whatever your multiplier is Here, that's about $300, $370. And I do leave a couple of machines running, so I'm sure that's helping drive my bill up here. But be aware of that when you're using an old computer, maybe driving your price up. General Motors has pioneered some new collision detection and yet another airbag. One of the accidents I had as a teenager, I wrecked a vehicle, and I had a passenger with me that did not have, and this was in the days when we didn't wear seatbelts, the passenger that was with me, he almost ended up in my lap from the impact collision. Basically, was all over up against me, and I was basically pushed up against the window. But they now they've come up with a new airbag that prevents your passenger from basically you and him or her knocking heads. If it's especially on a side impact, at least there's a cushion in between you two. This is a new airbag that blows out instead of, you know, it's kind of different than what a normal curtain airbag would be. So this is kind of cool by GM and also some anti-collision stuff. So I like to see this one here because a lot of people get hurt pretty bad on these sideways impacts when they bounce to the side and then, you know, clunk heads with the person that's either driving or vice versa, the person that's riding. And, you know, that can cause very traumatic injury in itself. I was pretty lucky on mine. You know, we both didn't have seatbelts on. And that was, again, back in the old days when no one was wearing seatbelts. And we always wear a seatbelt now. They get another article here talking about system building and how system building is on the decline. I'll have that link up in the show notes as well for you to check out. And I haven't built a machine in a long time myself as well. So when was the last time you built a machine? Are you still building your own, or are you, you know, you just going out and buying machines now? Are you not even bothering? Do you even care? Have you built one with your kid so that they get an idea of what's going on inside these boxes? Does it even matter anymore? Love to hear your feedback. Hey, Google has updated Chrome to restore browser after Microsoft Blunder. Of course, Microsoft basically had released an update to their antivirus product. It identified Chrome as a Trojan, and it removed it from people's machines. So very quickly, Chrome fixed that. But, of course, the conspiracy guys were saying over the weekend, oh, crying foul over what Microsoft did. But I guess everyone got their Chrome systems back up and running. Hey, those of you in the UK and they were part of BT, as an internet service provider, BT suffered a broadband failure today across much of the UK. So I hope you guys got your bandwidth back and up online. But that always sucks when stuff like that goes out. And this next image is more of a fun, or this next story is more of a fun story. But talk about insanity at its best. And I just got to show you this. They don't make it so we can see that big blown up picture. But when you go over in this, just tell me how nuts these folks are. Some individuals hung a jacuzzi. And I'm going to show you the initial image. Here's a bridge. And they hung a jacuzzi underneath the bridge. And they all got down in it and were hanging 600 feet above a river. And basically, we're all in this thing. Most of them not hooked into any ropes or anything else, but absolutely craziness to be hanging that far underneath this bridge, hanging out in the jacuzzi on this platform. Why? I just don't get it. I don't fully understand why they did it, but they had a little generator and everything. They had the whirlpool running. This was just wrought with things that could go wrong. And why they did it is beyond me, but holy smokes is all I can say. I just, I look at this and I just, there's no way you could get me to do that. There's just no, absolute no way. All right, last couple articles here. Microsoft has given its CEO Ballmer a 2% pay increase, says he's underpaid. So he's going to make $1.365 million in compensation for 2011. And so he's probably get some other bonus. So that's probably not all the money he gets. So he really is, compared to many of these other companies, he's really underpaid. And the VCs are starting to get worried about IPOs. They're saying that IPOs are on the decline, basically because the economy is cooling off again. And they're starting to worry, and it's raising fear in the startup community that they're not going to be investing as much money. Remember MySpace? Yeah, MySpace. Yeah, MySpace is still around, right? When was the last time any of you were at MySpace? Well, MySpace is going to be making some announcements over the next couple of days, and they've got a new pitch to an agenda to marketeers. And essentially what they're going to be doing is they're looking at rolling out some new services, and they're essentially talking about simplifying navigation. They want to limit clutter and non-core features and ads. They want to have host exclusive content. Again, people wanting content more. They want to re-engage audiences. They want to have artists who share and curate their content on there. And they want, of course, capture new audiences. I think the days of MySpace being able to recapture anybody is probably gone. But they're trying to basically bring people back with some of the same things they made them famous before, except they're going to be working more with content creators and trying to attract them as well. I've gotten several requests by people to talk about a site called ifttt.com, and I don't fully understand it. And basically, it's broken down into task, triggers, actions, channels, bringing stuff together, recipes, on, off, and a polling period. So it's a way to basically congregate stuff and get information. If then, you know, if then or other, and there's all kinds of rules you can set up. But I haven't played with this at all. But if anyone has an ifttt.com account, I'd love to hear from you guys exactly what this is. Because they do not do a very, it's their front page is just very, or their about page is very busy. Their basic page has hardly nothing on it at all. It just says ifttt.com. So love to hear you guys' feedback on this one. All right, I guess, what did I do? I didn't prep the voicemails tonight. So let me go ahead and load that real quick. And let me go over here and zip up. There's my bookmark. And we'll go over. We'll get into the email here in just a few minutes. Let me look at the time. Yeah, doing semi-okay on time here. Got about 3 minutes left. And we'll see what's in. Is there new voicemails? When was the last show? I'll bring up the calendar. Some of these might be marketeers as well. So the last show was on the 29th. So anything new after this? Okay, here's one. Let's see if this is a marketeer. Let me turn the volume up on this machine. And we'll play this. And of course, Java pops up. I bet you this is a marketeer. Okay, yes, I agree.
Hi, I'm calling on behalf of David Smith, and I'm sorry we missed you. If you're worried about your
finances. Oh, yeah. So no, when someone's trying to sell something to me, so we'll delete that. Yeah, marketeers are still calling the voicemail hotline. Not surprised. So no actual voicemails in the hoop tonight. Let me go ahead and get into the email. I think we've got a low number of emails here. He says, download problems to help with product reviews. Hey, Todd, Richard here. I heard in the past episode to send you a message about doing product reviews. I've been doing a bunch of reviews on how to get started, but still a little unsure on exactly what I need to get started. If you can help me get started, it would be greatly appreciated. Also said to let you know about the download problem, and I had a terrible time on the next to last show. I had to restart the download 4 times, and finally last try it completed the file, but it took 3 to 3.5 hours, and I was using iTunes to subscribe to you. I live in the southern tip of Ohio, and my internet provider is Armstrong Cable, which covers a lot of the eastern USA. Always good, as I appreciate the awesome content. And again, if you can help me on getting started on doing product reviews, I thank you, and it would turn out to be some good stuff. So, Richard, are you looking to do it on GNC or your own website? If you're, you know, if you're trying to do it on your own website, the key is to do product reviews is to really start writing about products on your website without the product. You know, do as much stuff as you can in stores, picking the product up, playing with it in a store, and doing the review that way. Or what you read online. If you're looking to do stuff at GNC, then re-email me back and clarify. Yeah, so far as the CDN stuff goes, we really couldn't track it down, except everyone that had a problem was in the Michigan, Indiana, Ohio area. So it must be that node corrupted that file. But thanks for the heads up on that. I definitely appreciate it. But Richard, yeah, email me back and let me know exactly what you're looking at. Got an email here from MS Small Biz. He said, just a couple of notes to catch up on old shows. First off, you scared the you-know-what out of me while driving the other day. I typically listen to podcasts while driving between customer sites, pushing my MP3 player. Yes, I know I have one of those through my car stereo. Well, you somehow recorded your PC system sounds during the show, and at one point, early in the show, there was a loud bong. I nearly jumped and started looking all over the place at the Gage's GPS phone, everything to see what it had alarmed, and if I needed to bail out of the car as it was about to explode. It took me a minute or two to narrow it down to what I thought it was, the show recording. So I rewound, and yes, there it was again. Okay, car is okay, and the engine didn't just blow. Thinking I had it under control, later in the show comes another bong, and again, I clearly jump out of my seat, not good at 70 miles per hour. He says, now, this won't do well for audio listeners like me, but during the show, you may want to pull up the image for the video guys. This has got to be the ugliest PC case ever made, and it costs $300. I get it that you're trying to get the airflow going and providing hot swap bays and a ton of tricks and treats, but could they make it look worse? So let me, this is a new egg, and let me bring this over here and show this real fast. And while I'm doing, oh my gosh, is that an ugly case or what? You're on the money there, MS Small Biz. Absolutely. That is an ugly case. Wow. Okay, next email here comes from Bree. Says, hey, Todd, I think that using Chrome is easier than Firefox because the startup time for Firefox is slower in comparison to Chrome. But another reason could be that many offices like my agency are adapting the Google platform for email and a whole array of apps. One of those apps is Chrome. It melds in seamlessly with Office Gmail, so the predominance of Google is pushing Chrome into the predominance also. I think it's that not in the too distant future, Chrome may well rival IE in usage. Personally, I always root for the underdog, and I appreciate Firefox kicking up with all the attempts by hackers to subvert the user experience, but it's just too easy to use Chrome. I have to make an intentional decision to click on the Firefox icon. I like you, hope that Firefox finds a way to give us a fast yet still safe way to use it. Bree, and of course, Bree's in D.C. She's one of our really longtime listeners of the show. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. And the last email for the night is kind of from Jeff. Hey, Todd, I'm a longtime listener. I just wanted to send you an email about your sponsor. I've supported almost all of your sponsors and did so because of you and your show. Personally, I have countless GoDaddy domain names. The company I work for started using GoToMeeting a few years ago. We are not up to 3 accounts and love the HD faces. We started using at my suggestion after I hear about it on the show. I've also signed up for some Carbonite accounts. I know you and your sponsors always know this type of advertising works, but I wanted to pass on my experience. Keep up the good work, Jeff, and he's in Leonardtown. Of course, he has a website, WeirRunners.com. I'll have the link up in the show notes. Okay, that's it. I think I'm good on getting all the email done, and we're long, so I'm going to get everybody out of here. Hey, everyone, thanks for hanging out with me. It's been a blast, and of course, make sure, for those of you that are new to the show, thanks for being here, and thanks for subscribing and getting signed up for the newsletter as well. We normally go about an hour 20, but I just wanted to make sure I got everything in tonight. But thanks. Thanks for being with me, and we hope that you'll come back and listen to another show here at geeknewscentral.com. Again, my name is Todd Cochran, and take care until next time. Aloha.